We're continuing on the paths of study, a series of studies on the authority of the King James Bible. Last time we were together, our lesson was entitled, we talked about the archaic words and what to do with them, amen. And before we go on to another new study, I want us to look at some interesting things concerning the King James Bible. Do you know where the word James comes from? The Greek or Hebrew word for James is Jacob. And who was Jacob? Well, he was the prince in Israel whose name was later changed to Israel. This is a Jewish book, this King James Bible, is it not? Every writer in it is Jewish. God did not use Queen Elizabeth, nor King George, or Bloody Mary, but he waited for James. The English derivative for Jacob, amen. In other words, he waited for a king, King James. Notice in the front, dictatory or dedicatory in most old Bibles, it says, to the most high and mighty Prince James, by the grace of God. God wanted us to get an English, not an American Bible, amen. Note where everything begins. Where is location measured? Longitude and latitude. By the way, it's Greenwich, England. Where is time measured from? Big Ben, the same location. How about heat? Do you ever hear of BTUs when we talk about heat? That stands for British Thermal Unit. In Genesis 9:1, it says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. There is one Bible that has been God honored for time and has fruit. Amen. Notice the Holy Bible has nine letters. King James has nine letters. Galatians, the ninth book of the New Testament, has nine fruits of the Spirit. Also, note 5, 2, and 2 equals 9. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. No other book on the face of this earth is so honored. Amen. Ask any business person, and he will tell you advertising is needed to promote anything, especially a book. Not one advertising committee has worked to promote the King James Bible. Yet nearly 400 years later, it's still selling and bearing fruit. Amen. And that's the number 9 in the Bible. Amen. Stands for fruit. Amen. For joy. Amen. You would be shocked to find out the millions of dollars spent to promote these so-called Bibles of today. All it is selling is Jesus. And it's sick. I know it. And I've seen it. Look in front of a plain King James Bible. No copyright. If there is one, it's on the references in your Bible. For example, if you have one of the various study Bibles. The King James text is not copyrighted, but the references and the study notes are. All these other Bibles have a copyright from the publisher. My dear friends, you cannot copyright God's words. Try to claim the NIV for yourself. You'll get your sock suit off from Zondervan Publishing House, amen? In all modern translation, they change the spelling of Savior, S-A-V-I-O-U-R, to S-A-V-I-O-R. Savior, S-A-V-I-O-U-R, is spelled with seven letters, God's number of completion. S-A-V-I-O-R is spelled with six letters, the number of man. Christ died to be our Savior, amen, and he died for you, amen. We see that Christ died to be our Savior. We see in the spelling S-A-V-I-O-U-R, we see the last three letters are R, R. O-U-R. He died for you. A play on letters and on the word. I do not think so. Amen. Explain this concerning the Bible. There is this crazy teaching that goes around many circles in Christianity. It's called the Deutero-Isaiah theory. That two men wrote Isaiah. And this is due to the distinct difference between the first 39 chapters and the last 27 chapters. There are 66 books in the Bible. There are 66 chapters in Isaiah. We all know that there is a distinct difference in the first 39 books of the Bible and the last 27. Notice how Isaiah is split just as the Bible is split. Now follow this thought. In Genesis chapter 1, the first book of the Bible, it states, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In Isaiah chapter 1, it states, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. In the 66th book of the Bible, which is Revelation, notice in Revelations 21:1, you read, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22, the word of God says, for as the new heavens and the new earth shall remain before me, saith the Lord. You say, this is just chance. Sure it is. Once more with me. In Isaiah chapter 40, in verse number 3, the word of God says, for the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Matthew, the book of Matthew, which is the 40th book of the Bible, chapter 3, verse 3, reads, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This is more than by chance. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40 reminds us, let all things be done decently and in order. In John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Christ said to search the scriptures. How can we search them if we do not have them? Amen. Do we have them? Yes, we do. Word for word. Comma for comma. Every punctuation mark is needed. Amen. Everything that God has done is in order. King James. King James. King James. We see in the word king, an I. In the word James, A-M, I am. We're told in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4, where the word of a king is, there is power. There has been over 200 versions printed in the English language. Nearly every month, some new type of promotion is sent out by publishing houses to promote their new or upcoming Bible.
Amen.
They spend millions of dollars to promote their newest, most accurate, most readable version. However, after over 200, they cannot get it right. The King James Bible has no campaign house, no advertising committee, nor any major Christian group supporting it. However, after nearly 400 years, the King James Bible is still honored by God. It continues to bear fruit, and it continues to bring comfort to those in distress. Amen. Let's continue looking at some amazing or interesting things about the King James Bible. Amen. There are 25 words in John chapter 3, verse 16. An amazing thing is displayed in this verse. If you split the verse in half, you have the middle word is son. Who is this son? He is Jesus, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. For the one that loves flowers, he is the lily of the valley. For the carpenter, he is the door. For the dying, he is the resurrection and the life. For the one that loves trees, he is the branch. He is God manifest in the flesh. Notice the 12 words on the left. This is God's part of the deal. He gave his only begotten son. The 12 words on the right, this is man's responsibility, amen, to believe on the Son. Amen. We see God's part of the deal is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. And of course, the middle word is Son. And then the next 12, man's responsibility to that, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. That's right. Not in his own good works, but to believe on God's Son. But to believe on the finished work at Calvary. Notice that gospel is spelled out in the verse of John 3:16. We have the G there in God. We have the O and only. We have the S in should. We have the P from perish. We have the E from everlasting. And we have the L from life. Amen. The gospel in a nutshell. Continue to notice the verse. John 3:16. 3 is the number of the Trinity. 6 is the number of man. If you add the 1 and the 6, that gives you 7, the number of completeness. Amen. 1 is the number of God. Amen. The one in the middle. The only mediator is the one in the middle. 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse number 5. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Notice with me, 3:1-6. John 3:16, the numbers 3:1-6, which equals 10, the number of the Gentiles. The gospel is for all. Notice the 12 on the left. This represents the 12 tribes of Israel. Before Christ, one in the middle, and the 12 on the right, amen, represent the 12 apostles after Christ. Notice that God, the Father, gave the best gift. He gave the best. Why? So that he, God the Father, would have more. We read in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He gave his best to us. Do you give your best to God? There are those that ask, what about the heathen who never hear? Amen. Well, they have the glory of God and the righteousness of God declared in the heavens, as we're told in Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, and Psalm 50, verse 6. For every day they look into the sky and see the sun. It travels from east to west. Amen. The sun dies blood red in the west. The sun is buried, and it rises in the east. This gives a great picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For he is the Son of Righteousness, as it says there in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, who's coming back in the east. It gives the picture of the gospel, for Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. We see in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8, it says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Notice in this verse, one of the greatest prophetic verses that God is Jesus Christ in the flesh. Notice it says, God will be the lamb. For you to notice a lamb is not provided in the place of Isaac, but a ram. In verse 13 of Genesis 22, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, and he took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Amen. This matches Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, and 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Notice that the first name in the Bible is God. Amen. The middle two words of the Bible are the Lord. In Psalm 118, verse 8, the last name in the Old Testament is Lord in Malachi 4, 5. The first name in the New Testament is Jesus Christ. And the last name given is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, in Revelations chapter 22, verse 21. Knowing that amen is one of the names of Christ, Revelations 3, 14, to find the middle verse in the Bible, you take 31,101 verses in the Bible, divide it in two, and you have Psalm 118:8. You then notice there are 14 words in the text, and you cannot have one middle word but two. The two middle words are the Lord. The only book on earth to have the author's name in the middle. See? The other versions would be off, because they have either less verses or more verses and so forth and so on. There are 66 books, amen? That's right, in the Bible. 66 chapters in Isaiah, as we have said. Notice the power of the Bible. There are 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. The first 39 chapters in Isaiah are written in one style, the last 27 in another style. Folks have stated and discussed a Deutero-Isaiah theory, that two different people wrote the book of Isaiah. However, they did not. That's right. They did not study in enough detail. Amen? That's right. In the first chapter, amen, we saw how the first chapter of Isaiah matches the first book of the Bible. Amen? And it just continues on and on and on, my friends. Numbering and the power of it continues throughout the Bible. We saw it with the number 9. Amen. That's right. Amen and amen. That's right. It's a wonderful book. King James Bible. God's preserved, inspired, infallible, inerrant words. For you to read it, to love it, to enjoy it, to do what it says. Amen. That's right. Now, I want us to look at something new now that we've looked at the archaic words, and we've looked at some interesting and fascinating things about the King James Bible. I want to talk now about the italicized words. Amen. The italicized words. What do we do with them? We want to ask the question. Do we get rid of all of them? Do we get rid of some of them and keep some? Do we keep all of them? If we choose to get rid of some of them, what do we use as our final authority? You know, these are the questions that come up. Amen. Keeping with our theme, the Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Thus, if the Bible practices to keep them, then we will keep them. Amen. Modern scholars state should be removed. Amen. Well, then, do we get rid of all of them? Do we get rid of some and keep some? Do we keep all of them? If we choose to get rid of some of them, what do we use as our final authority? That's a problem that we run up against. Amen? At least those that want to remove them. There was a man that was dying. His pastor came to visit with him. And as the pastor was visiting with him, his pastor asked for his Bible so that he could read some scriptures to the dying man. The dying man said his Bible was on his desk. His pastor got up and went over to the desk to get the Bible, and when he picked up the Bible, he noticed something very strange about the Bible. It had pages torn out of it, and many pages had large X'd out passages. There was also areas of the Bible where parts of the page was cut out. The pastor asked the dying man, "What happened to his Bible?" The dying man replied, "For 30 years I sat under your preaching and teaching, and you would tell us that a certain passage was not found in the most ancient manuscripts and should not be in the text. And you would state that other passages should have been translated as something else. You would also state that a literal interpretation of this text could not be taken as a passage was only a parable and not a real event. You told us that when Christ said Jonah would be 3 days in the whale's belly, that it could not have been a whale, since it goes against modern science. So for 30 years, I cut, I tore, I crossed out my Bible until there is nothing left but a few pages of..." The man took his last breath, not fully realizing the great truth when God wrote in Psalm chapter 12 and verses 6 and 7, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." God stated he would preserve his words, not just his word, but his words, his W-O-R-D-S's. Since he stated that he would preserve them, we need to find out, do we have them? And if so, where are they? Back to the story. After the man took his last breath, no longer did he have to sit on the teaching of a man that believed himself to be the final authority, but would be in glory, knowing that God did preserve his words. They were preserved on earth. Now, let's look at what the Bible has to say concerning chopping up God's Bible. Italicized words. What do we do with them? Amen? And we want to ask the question, what are the italicized words? And how and why are they in the text? Well, they are in the text as italicized words because of the integrity of the translators of the King James Bible. When translating from one language to another, words must be added to finish or complete the sentence structure when going into the new language. All translators do this when translating. You may say that this is adding to the Bible. No, what this is doing is completing the sentence structure. But note this, the King James translators were men of integrity, and when they had to complete the sentence structure, they put the words in italics. For example, 23rd Psalm. We all love the 23rd Psalm. Amen? Even the unsaved. 23rd Psalm, in verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." The word is italicized. Now, in the NIV, 23rd Psalm, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." It's not italicized. Both sets of translators, though, added the word "is." However, the King James translators put the words in italics for the reader to know of the added word. This is due to the integrity of the translators of the King James Bible. Now, here's another example. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 8, it reads as this, "He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light." Now, the two words, "was sent," in the King James Bible is italicized. Now, in the New King James Version, it reads, "He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light." Again, we see that the words "was sent" in the New King James Version is not italicized. Again, both set of translators added words to complete the sentence, "was sent." Try to read the passage without the words "was sent." The words were added to complete the sentence. However, note that the translators of the New King James did not give any indication of the need for these words. Amen? Now, who determines which words we keep and which words we eliminate? Amen? Well, modern scholars and critics of the Bible would have you believe that some of the words in italics should be removed. However, we come to one problem. Who determines which should be removed and which should stay? Let's look at the Bible practice for italicized words and use the Bible as our final authority, like we have been in this study, in this matter. If we rely on someone else other than the Bible, then when the person is not available, then what happens to our final authority? What happens when that person dies? Amen. Because that person's eventually going to die, amen, and perish, but the Word of God will not. Do you have to go to a man to determine what stays and what does? Do you have to go to a man to determine how it should have been translated? No, you don't. You go to the Bible and believe it as it is written and preserved for us in the King James Bible. My friends, do not let anyone steal your Bible from you. Those that continue to state, "Well, in the original it means," or "a better rendition of this passage would be," or in the more ancient manuscripts this passage is not found. You can see one thing through all of this. They're trying to make themselves to be the final authority and would have to believe that they are smarter than Almighty God, amen? They would have to believe that for whatever reason, they are smarter and wiser than you and I. Well, we saw that the wisest man to ever live, Solomon, could not go against what God stated. Then how could any of these modern scholars, amen? That's right. Let's look at, we're going to be looking at some examples as we go along with the italicized words. And we'll pick up next time. We're running out of time here, and I don't want to rush into anything. I want to take our time as we go through and talk about the italicized words in the King James Bible.